Now live from Studio 550, it's McGraw in the Morning on the Big 550 KTRS.
It is 8:40. Let's check in with David Stokes. David, congratulations. This is your kid's first day of kindergarten?
It was. It was exciting. Dropped off our oldest boy at kindergarten this morning, took pictures, and watched him walk in with his new classmates. It was fun.
Do you remember your first day of kindergarten?
I do not.
You do not?
I do not.
Really?
I wish I did. It sounds like a fun memory, but I don't really recall it.
Well, after listening to some of your opinions, clearly you didn't learn anything in kindergarten. I remember my first day of kindergarten. I remember thinking I don't necessarily want to go, and they were like, "You're going." And then after that, I was like, "Hey, school's kind of fun. You leave home and you all the cute girls." So it was anyway. All right.
I hope he comes home with that attitude.
Except I should tell a story about my first day of school. I took the wrong bus home. My mother pinned a note on my blue blazer, and I think I was laughed at for the next 18 years because of it. What's the latest with Ellisville?
Well, the latest is they had a special meeting late last week, and they are not moving forward. As of the end of last week, they're not moving forward with charter changes. So I commend the people of Ellisville who got out there and had their voices heard that changing the city charter to amend how you do a recall, while they're in the middle of a recall procedure on several elected officials, changing that charter is not appropriate. And I commend the city of Ellisville. For whatever reason they did it, they ended up doing the right thing and leaving the charter be so that the citizens can have their say here.
It also goes to show you that the actual media works sometimes. When you shed a light on something, it's really amazing how elected officials change their tune.
You know, that's very true, McGraw. I mean, your station and TV stations and the newspaper, a lot of people jumped all over it. And I think the one who introduced the bill to amend the charter, he didn't show up to the second special meeting. He pulled a no-show for whatever reason. So that's one of the reasons it died. And the media and the citizens deserve a lot of credit for it.
Where's the recall procedure now?
It's my understanding. I'm not involved in the recall itself, but it's my understanding that the signatures to recall a couple officials either were submitted in the last couple days or are going to be submitted very, very shortly.
Interesting.
So I think the recall is now moving ahead.
All right. And where are we with the TIF? Are they able to rework that or re-vote on that, or has that already left the station and there is no way to call that back?
I think it's left the station and no way to call it back. I think they've got some minor changes to it here and there. But nothing of significance, and nothing that the five council members who voted to pass the TIF, nothing is coming up so important that they'll change their minds. That TIF is going in, unfortunately.
So even though the Ellisville people have spoken and they clearly don't want that Walmart right there on Clarkson Road and Manchester, there will be a Walmart on that corner.
Almost assuredly, yes. Now, to give the developers some credit, I understand they've pulled a few of their subsidies from their request list. Though there's no longer going to be these sort of special taxing districts, a community improvement district, and so on. So they've shrunk the amount of the request for subsidy, and that's a step in the right direction. But the plan for the TIF for the development is still going forward.
Gotcha. All right. Now, where are we with, you mentioned, I think this is actually your district, this one vote state rep race in St. Louis County. You were talking about it as just a couple weeks ago that every vote counts. It turns out you were totally wrong. It only counts if you count all the votes.
If you count them properly, right. There was a strange error by the election board, and it's the type of thing that I'm actually surprised doesn't happen more often, in that one of the polling places was a split. Some of the people going in to vote were in one state rep district, and some of the people were in this state rep district, which is the 87th. So when they went back and looked closely at this race, because it was a one-vote margin, they correctly decided they needed to make sure everything was done right. And they found that at this one polling place in Brentwood, some of the voters got the incorrect ballot. Some people voted in the race who, if they either voted in the race who shouldn't have voted, or people who should have voted in the race didn't because they were given a ballot for the other state rep race. And with it being a one-vote margin, the 100 or so ballots that were given out incorrectly, the election board came to, I think, the only decision they could, in that there's no way they could certify the election as accurate. So now it's going to court, and I don't think anybody has any idea how this is going to work out now.
Yeah, because there really is sort of this. We're sort of in an unprecedented territory, aren't we?
Absolutely. These things, thankfully, don't happen very often. When there's errors in elections, it generally doesn't. The margin is wide enough that it doesn't matter. For example, the other state rep district at this polling place, the margin of victory for the winning candidate there was large enough that the errors weren't going to come into play. So that election was certified and is going forward. So this is a combination of two things: an error that they can identify and a margin of victory so small that it matters. And thankfully, that's not something we have a whole lot in St. Louis or Missouri.
If you had if you could wave your David Stokes Show Me Institute policy analyst wand, how would you like to see this resolved?
Boy, that is a great question. I think I'd like to see it resolved just by sort of a wide open election here. We're able to just sort of redo the whole thing. But as a resident of the district, I sort of am biased. I'm biased in that, and I have to admit that bias. I'd like to see a wide open election, open to all comers now.
Oh, so you'd like to see it wide open to have everybody run?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just have a runoff from like those two people again?
Well, because I think that'd be very tricky. That was a primary, and there were other things on the primary, and redoing a primary only would be very difficult. Although with Missouri's open primary system, you know, anybody can vote in a primary. So that brings its own challenges into play.
Right. So you're saying because it's a primary election, a primary vote only brings out a certain amount of people, and so if you want a true representation, there's no way to recreate that.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Yeah.
Well, and also when we get to this point, you know, as Republican committee man for the township that is the bulk of that district, I certainly have my biases in there.
Sure, certainly understandable. While we have you, David Stokes, you want to chime in on this Todd Akin controversy?
You know, I wish I'd have followed it more closely this weekend. I really didn't. We had we baptized our little baby this weekend and had a lot of family in town. So I can honestly say I only heard the barest of things about it yesterday.
Right.
It is unfortunate comments that I think clearly were just a misstatement. And sometimes when you're doing live radio, and I've certainly done it in the past, you just say things that come out wrong.
Well, clearly I've never said anything wrong on
the
radio.
Well, that's why you're a pro. But you get paid to do it as the expert.
A lot of people question whether I should or should not get paid for this job. But lastly, David Stokes, while we have you here, there was an editorial in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about who should and should not be elected. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it was a great editorial. It talks about a movement in St. Charles, which is such a large, major county now, to not elect the sheriff of the county and to move to a county police department with an appointed professional chief of police like they have in St. Louis County and St. Louis City. I think that would be a good idea for St. Charles. People in St. Louis County especially don't realize how many officials are elected in most counties of Missouri and in the city of St. Louis, where you literally elect a dozen countywide officials for all sorts of offices. And some of these are great. I've got a sort of a rule of thumb. If the person serves as an important check on other elected officials or makes truly important policy decisions on their own, they should be elected and responsible to the people. And that includes things like prosecuting attorney, assessor, county treasurer, county auditor. They sort of pass those tests for one or two of those things. But some of the elected officials, like public administrator and circuit clerk, license collector and highway engineer, which we elect in some rural counties, these are positions that they don't make truly important policy decisions. They just sort of apply the law, and they don't really serve as checks on other officials. So I think in those cases, it's better to appoint public officials rather than elect them. Now, sheriff's sort of a tricky one, because in some cases they pass one of my two tests. Certainly they make very important policy decisions. But in large counties where you really need sort of modern professional police departments, I think it is a good idea to move toward the police model and appoint the person, and that person would then be responsible to the county executive, and that's who voters can hold responsible for it.
That's David Stokes. David, have a great day. Congratulations on the kids' first day at kindergarten, and we'll see you in studio next week.
Thanks, McGraw. See you then.
850, Big 550, KTRS. This-